We're doing the Rambam's letter to Rabbi Pinchas HaDayan, and the Rambam is addressing Rabbi Pinchas's letter in which Rabbi Pinchas said, you caused the names of the rabbis to be forgotten because you wrote your work anonymously. You just wrote it without saying who says what, just what the halacha is. And the Rambam had begun by asking him, by answering him that there are two ways of writing. One can write a commentary, or one can write a separate work, and his is a separate work, and that's why he doesn't bother mentioning what the sources are, because he's not writing a commentary on anything else, he's just writing its own work. So obviously everything he writes stems from the Talmud and the oral tradition, but this is a new work. Vidai says, we're on page Tafmim Aleph in the Shilat edition, the sixth line. I want you to know, שאם אני גרמתי לאבד שם החכמים, מפני שאמרתי דברים הנכונים שהם על פי המשפט סתם ולא שם אומרם, if I caused the names of the rabbis to be lost, because I said the opinions which the Talmud ultimately validates, and I don't say whose opinion it is, דרך רבנו הקדוש תפסתי. I went in the way of רבנו הקדוש, in the way of רבי יהודה הנשיא. גם הוא עשה זה מלפניי. Look, he did it also. I'm just going in his footsteps. שכל סתם שאמר בלא שם אדם, כולם דברי חכמים אחרים הן. Anytime you have a Mishnah that's stated plainly, so then that Mishnah is really the opinion of certain rabbis. And he doesn't tell you their names. He just says the Mishnah plainly. ואותן החכמים האחרים לא מדעתן אמרו אלא מפי אחרים ואחרים מאחרים עד משה רבנו. So those rabbis whose opinion he adopts in the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, the Mishnayos that are said plainly, well, they didn't invent the opinion either. They're going in line with the opinion that they heard from someone else, and those people got it from someone else, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. וכשם שלא הקפידו התנאים והמוראים על שמות כל החכמים שמימות משה עד ימיהם, and just as you don't find the Tanoim and the Amoraim were careful to enumerate the names of all those links in the chain of tradition all the way back to Moshe, Shein l'davar sof, because then there's no end. You're going to start enumerating. Every time you want to quote a halacha, you go on and on and on. Kach lo nakpidanu al shemotani muskero lo uskero. By the same token, we're not careful whether we mention the names of the rabbis or not. What benefit would you have if I tell you whose opinion it was? You see, in numerous places, the Talmud tells you, Rebbe in this Mishnah, he adopts multiple opinions. Here he went along with this rabbi's opinion, and there he went along with that rabbi's opinion. Bottom line, Rebbe stated it all plainly in the Mishnah, without going into the question, where did I get it from? Without quoting the source for the halachos that he's ruling. This is how he rules. So it's true that he isn't inventing the wheel, but he doesn't have to quote his sources. הנה בפירוש הדברים שראה אותן רבי שאין הלכה פסוקה אצלו, ושכך ראוי לעשות, you see clearly that the things that Rebbe saw, that according to his logic, they should be in the halacha, that's the way a person should behave. Amaran stam b'lo shem adam. You see, he said them plainly. He did not say who he is quoting. Uvechama mekomot amrinan ha'istam ha'yechidai v'lo hizkir rabenu shem echad mem. You have numerous places where the Talmud even says that this Mishnah, which Rebbe said so plainly, this Mishnah is really an individual's opinion. The masses didn't agree with this opinion, but Rebbe agreed with this opinion. So Rebbe stated that Mishnah plainly, and he does not mention what this is only so-and-so's opinion. He mentions it as though it's a given. That's the halacha. Udvarim shlo ayu halacha psuka tzal Rebbe, ela yesh ben machloket. So sometimes you have situations where Rebbe did not have an opinion. He did not rule how we should decide this argument. Velo ayta dato nota lachan mishnei advarim, and he himself did not have an opinion that sided with one of the two sides. Amar shnei advarim b'shem omran. That's when you find that Rebbe says Rebbe Ploni omer kach, Rebbe Ploni omer kach. That's when he quotes so and so. Rabbi so and so says this, and Rabbi so and so says that. Ve'skir shmot ha'chachamim shema me'eno shen kerovin nizmano. And you see, Rebbe only mentions the first line of tradition, the rabbis he himself heard, or those that lived in the times that were close to his times. You don't find them going back and saying, so-and-so in the name of so-and-so in the name of so-and-so. Why doesn't he do that? Because you had a lot of people in those days. Some would go with opinion A, and some would go with opinion B. And says the Rambam, and the Talmud, the Mishnah in Eduyo says, the Mishnah addresses, why did he mention some of the names explicitly? Why does the Mishnah mention the opinion of Shammai and Hillel in their three machlokos, when ultimately we don't rule like Shammai or Hillel? So why did Rebbe bother mentioning them? To teach future generations. So we don't have these words, Lelamed Ladorot. Our Mishnah gives an answer, but it doesn't begin with the words Lelamed Ladorot. It says that if someone comes in and says, this is how I do things, we won't tell him you're from a different religion. We'll tell him, you're in line with the opinion of Shammai, you're in line with the opinion of Hillel, but what you're doing is incorrect. That's not the halacha. So the Rambam says, you see from those Mishnayos, that in Rebbe's time, you still had a lot of people following other opinions. And if Rebbe didn't hold that the bottom line was very clear one way or the other way, so then he quotes the Machlokas. And why does he only mention the rabbi of that generation? Because that's the one that people are following. They're saying, I'm doing like Shammai.
That's Kavanah.
That's the he doesn't quote the continuation of the quote. I think it means the Lamed Ladorot, to teach future generations, that if you encounter people who behave this way, you'll be able to tell them, you guys are in a community that's going in the way, you came from a community that went the way of Hillel. But you should know the rabbis didn't rule like Hillel. If you didn't have the basis to know that there was Hillel's opinion, so then you wouldn't know where they were coming from. You'd just say they're a bunch of fools. The Mishnah continues there and says, so why do we mention an individual's opinion when there are masses who disagree? Because if Beis Din sees fit, there can be instances where Beis Din can rely on that minority opinion.
It's true that like a lot of the times in the halakhot posek that they went according to the opinion of the majority, right? That's a lot of the backing behind a lot of the things of the majority. But we see in the Tanakh that a lot of the times, and maybe most of the time, it was just one or two people who were correct against the masses who were wrong. Some of the golden calf, some of the spies. I'm sure there's plenty of other examples where one or two people were right. They managed to save the nation because of their righteous deeds, but everyone else was wrong. So now, if you had to go according to the majority, we've been stuck in the golden calf. Moshe coming down from Sinai and saying, gee, yeah, you know, majority of the guys are doing this, so, hey, you know, I guess maybe it's not wrong. Or the son of the golden, son of the spies coming back and saying, well, you know, okay, if the majority of people decided the land is like this and like that, well, I guess we're going to have to do that.
So, answer your own question.
But I'll tell you that, it's the writer.
So let's discuss it later. You're right, it is Thursday night, but it's not exactly on topic, so we'll get back to it. Our version of the Mishnah says the following. It says in three Mishnayot. I misquoted it. What I said, the Mishnah says later on. The Mishnah first says, why do we mention the words of Shammai and Hillel to teach future generations that a person shouldn't stand stubbornly over his own opinion. Because you see, the giants of the earlier generations, they didn't hold stubbornly to their opinion. When they were overruled, they were overruled. So here we have to see the Rambam. The Rambam says, person shouldn't be stubborn to hold on to his logic, because you see, Shammai and Hillel, that we have these three Mishnayot, where they had opinions, and their opinions were not accepted. So now let's go back and see the Rambam, what the Rambam quoted here. Because what I quoted, the Rambam's about to deal with. That's not, the Rambam wasn't dealing with that earlier. Said, when Rebbe did not have a conclusive inclination to go with one of the opinions, he'd quote so-and-so said and so-and-so said. And then he'd quote them, because in that time there were a lot of people who did like them. He wouldn't quote their earlier generations. And the Talmud already says, why does he mention their names? So the Talmud says, so that we'll learn from the fact that they conceded not to accept their opinions, that we also should concede and not hold on to our opinions. Then the Talmud goes on and says, so why do we mention the individual opinion if we're not going to rule like him? The answer is so court can rely on him when necessary. So why do we mention the individual opinion when you're not going to go with it? If a person says, this is my tradition, then we'll be able to tell him, yeah, you're right, there was one such a tradition, but that's not the halacha. Hine beferush. You see clearly in these Mishnayos, shein ra'oi la'azkir el ha'alacha psuka bilvad, that the only thing that should have been mentioned, the Mishnayos take as a given, is the bottom line, the halacha. Uvata azman sheyusin elu kach ve'elu kach. So in that generation, where you had some people who were still adhering to the opinion of Shammai and Hillel, and in that generation you still had people that had the tradition of Shammai and Hillel. That's why it was necessary to mention it, and it could be, I don't see it clearly in the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos, but it could be that the Rambam is going back on the first reason as well. And that when the Mishnah said to teach us that the earlier generations, the fathers of the world, the Mishnah calls them, Shammai and Hillel are the fathers of the world, they didn't stand firm with their opinion, but when they were overruled, they went with the majority opinion, so too everyone else should. So it could be the Rambam is learning that that's a reference to their disciples. Meaning he had to mention they had this opinion so that their disciples would see, yes, Rebbe also knew Shammai and Hillel held this way, but we don't rule that way. So Shammai and Hillel gave in, you should also give in. You shouldn't stick to Shammai and Hillel's opinion when they themselves gave in. Which, if that's the right understanding in the Rambam, that it goes back on that section also, maybe that gives us a certain insight. The Tosefta says, it's quoted in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that it was Shammai and Hillel's disciples that had vehement arguments that really led to the Torah being like two Toros. So perhaps we can infer from here that that's what the Mishnah is saying. Look at what an effort we put in to ensure that we don't end up this way. We even quote Shammai and Hillel even though they're not halacha, just so that their students will see, yes, we value them. But look, they gave in. They didn't stick to their guns. So too you should give in when the halacha is not like you. Maybe. Mechivan shechibalti ani derech ha-mishnah, and being that I made my work in the same format as the Mishnah, that I'm just coming to give you the bottom line. Ukvar pasak ha-talmud kol halacha v'halacha bifrat o bichlal min haklalot sheposkin men ha-halachot. And the Talmud already gives you the ruling of every halacha, either specific cases where the Talmud says the halacha is this way, or in generalizations that the Talmud sometimes gives you a general rule that can be applied in numerous places. The en sham shnei masim, lama ani maskir shem ha'ish en halacha kmoto, v'chein lo shem shehalacha kmoto shein oto adin divrei zeh hayachid hanizkar batalmud. The Rambam says, here it's not clear what the Rambam means, the Ein Sham Shnei Maasim. I don't know how to translate that line. So I think what the Rambam means to say is that by me, I don't have people going in line with two traditions from the days of the Mishnah. So why should I mention the ones that are their opinion hasn't been accepted? In the days of Rebbe, he still had people to contend with. I don't have people like that. V'chen lo shem shalacha kmoto, and I don't either have to mention who I'm ruling like, she'en oto adin divrei zeh hayachid hanizkar batalmud, because this is no longer the individual's opinion. Kama baye ohava. But by now, the masses have accepted it. So it's not Abaye's opinion. Abaye's opinion became accepted, and for generations, all of Am Yisrael has been doing this. So why should I say it in Abaye's name? Because in the Talmud it was Abaye's opinion? You don't find the Mishnah going back 15 generations and administering and saying, this opinion was really Yonah the prophet's opinion. Doesn't say that, right? Yeah, you have one place in the Gemara in Chulin where it quotes Yonah Navi. Okay, fine. But ordinarily we don't do that. So the Rambam says, you see, they took the rabbis that were close to their generation. The halachos I'm discussing, the rabbis close to my generation, well, the masses go with it. It's not one rabbi who says it. The masses have ruled this way. So what do I have to mention Abaye and Rava for? No one did that. No one went that far back. And that's why I chose not to leave room for those apostates to come and argue, because they say, why do you guys do things this way? You see, you're going with the minority opinion, they're wrong. Where our tradition is tens of thousands who received the tradition from tens of thousands. So that's why I didn't want to mention the individual's opinions, because that would weaken our tradition. Because then people would be able to say, you see, you're only doing this because Rav Elazar ben Azariah said so. But all the rabbis didn't do this, and this wasn't the tradition for so long. And because of this, I was careful to introduce my work and say, the following court with their chief rabbi got their tradition from the following court, and their chief rabbi. Because it was so important to me that people should understand that our tradition was passed down through the masses. It wasn't individuals that took down the tradition. And that was my intent there. I purposely wrote the halachos in a fashion like Stam Mishnah, that people should understand, this is the halacha, this is what everyone agrees to. I didn't want a situation where I say this halacha, And I say it in this rabbi's name, where I'm endangering the work that the minim, these apostates who deny the oral tradition, they would have room to say, you see, even Maimonides agrees, you're only going with the minority opinion. Because if they'd see that I wrote a halacha in the name of Abaye, they'd think, Abaye invented this, only Abaye said this. And it's so interesting. The Rambam says this in the previous century. There was a man named Gretz, who originally was learning under Rav Hirsch, and then he went out and started becoming an apostate, and he started writing books on Jewish history, and he invented all kinds of concepts, and this is one of the things he did. Anytime he found halacha, he'd say, you see, this rabbi invented this halacha, and it's a common mistake. The Rambam says it was around in my day, so that's why I didn't bother mentioning who says what.